I'm an addict recovering from the disease of addiction. My name is Brandon. Man, how y'all doing, Houston? I said, how y'all doing, Houston? What's up, man? What's up, man? Let's go. Let's go. I'm so excited to be clean tonight. I believe that when we gather like this, man, this is supposed to be a party, man. This is a celebration of life, right? I don't know about, actually, I do. I know about you guys. Because if you're in Narcotics Anonymous, I know a lot about you, right? We share a lot, man. We have a lot in common. And one thing that's common for addicted people, people that have the disease of addiction, many of us can identify with the language that's used in our literature when it talks about experiencing death in many ways prior to getting clean, and that the spark of life was almost extinguished. So one of the things I always try to do, man, whenever, and whether it's a big meeting, a small meeting, man, I'm excited about Narcotics Anonymous, man. It's not an act. I yell when I'm on the phone with sponsees a lot of times, you know what I mean? So, because I get pumped up about NA, man. I love this program, right? So, yeah, I'm excited to be here. I need to clean up something that Courtney said real quick, because I told him as I was hugging him, thanks for the introduction, but you know, I have a lot more time to share than you do, so I get to defend myself now. Here goes the lie. Hazlitt NA, all right? Hazlitt NA is my home group. We're a literature study meeting. We meet for an hour and a half on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. We meet at Northgate Church. The address is 220 Main Street, Hazlitt, Texas. If you don't know your home group's address, you might want to ask yourself, are you really a home group member? Right? Man, if y'all thought that was offensive, I mean, shit. We're just getting started, man. So when Courtney was in DFW, I did, you know, ask him to come out to Hazlitt a lot. But what I want to share really quick, he said, I don't know what I'm asking when I ask somebody to drive from Dallas to Hazlitt. There's a lot of DFW people in here tonight, and most of them will tell you that they see me at their home groups on a regular basis. Because I move my ass around Fort Worth and Dallas. So I do know what it is to drive from Hazlitt to Dallas, right? And one of the, you know, that's kind of funny, but what I really want to share, there's a serious message in there, is look, man, check it out. Don't get home groupitis, right? We pick up information as we talk to members and visit various groups, right? So if you're not visiting various groups, how much information do you have available to you? Right? The basic text in Who is an Addict, when it says the information available to us came from misinformed people, it doesn't say that it stopped on our clean date. And then now that we're in NA, all the information available to us comes from very well-informed people. I don't say that. There's probably a reason it don't say that. Because I will submit to you that I've heard a lot of bad information in NA meetings. Right? I've heard a lot of things that don't, that can't be reconciled with our literature or our program. I've heard a lot of theories. I've heard a lot of people talk about, you know, sharing experience that don't belong to them, right? So I believe in, I love the theme of this convention, an awakening of the spirit. I'm going to share with you what my experience has been with how to make that happen, right? So one of the things that I believe in deeply and that we believe in our program is that the most valuable thing that I have to give you guys tonight is just my own experience, strength, and hope. It's not some shit that came from a movie. It's not something off a TV show. It's not something off Eminem's recovery album, right? I'm here to share with you about my experience. Right? So I'll even share with you, look, man, we're not interested, right? We're not interested in that stuff. When I go to an NA meeting, I want to hear the NA program. That's the reason I'm going to an NA meeting. If I want to hear some other stuff, I'll go to a place where they're talking about some other stuff. I'm not trying to be an asshole to you guys, but I'm sharing with you, look, man, like, we don't endorse, check this out. You guys know this book, Guiding Principles? This is one of my favorite lines out of the Guiding Principles book. I love this book, man. So this is page 99, tradition 6. This is powerful, man. Man, I don't even have to add anything to this. Just listen to what our literature says about this topic. Tradition 6 teaches us to be true to ourselves. The sixth tradition explains why the NA message must be clear. If we are to keep from being diverted, we must know what our purpose is. We can't just sort of know. It says that, y'all. We can't just sort of know. We must be certain. We have a message, and our purpose is to carry it. Anything else is a distraction or a diversion. Distraction steals our attention, diversion our energy, and both take us away from what matters to us. Right? So, man, my clean date is June 1st of 2005. I have 17 years clean. And that's 17 years of continuous and uninterrupted clean time. Right? We don't believe in slips in Narcotics Anonymous. This is a program of complete abstinence from all drugs. Right? So I got clean when I was 20 years old. Man, I was so broken when I got clean. I was sharing with a sponsee on the way up here. Let me just really quick shout out the DFW people. Where y'all at? Fort Worth and Dallas people. Man, I love having my people here, man. I got a couple of sponsees here, a bunch of good friends, some home group members. Inger, I love you too. I'm excited to see my friend Glendora. I had no idea that you were going to be here. I love you so much. Kathy, I don't know where you're at, but I saw your name on the program. I'm excited to see you. I'm excited to hear Kay Sunday morning. I love being with my people, man. I love being with my people. And check this out. If you're not in that kind of place where you're feeling like you're with your people right now, keep coming back, man. Right? Check this out. Don't just keep coming back. Do more for your recovery. Right? I'll even go take it a step further. Whatever it is that you're doing right now for your recovery, do more. You could be doing it all, right? You could be in at area every month. You could be doing service at the group level, sponsoring 10 guys, quoting literature, right? We're in the step process, yada, 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 et cetera, et cetera. But even with all that being said, check it out, man. I encourage you to do more. I've never regretted doing something for my recovery in Narcotics Anonymous. I've never, like, you know, finished reading literature and going, well, that was a waste of fucking time. Right? The hell am I doing in my life, right? Never. Every time that I've done something for my recovery, I always think, man, I'm so grateful to have access to this process. So real quick, man, and I share this because my last sponsor, Mustafa, used to say this all the time. So just give me a couple minutes. I'm not going to share a war story or a drug-a-log, but for anybody that's new, you need to know that I'm not up here because I smoke ping pong balls, right? So let me just share really quick about some of the nitty-gritty, nasty Adams here tonight, some of the weird shit that I did, right? So I started using drugs when I was like 12 years old. It started with smoking weed and drinking orange hooch. And by the way, let me say real quick for anybody that thinks that we don't mention specific drugs in Narcotics Anonymous, right? Guys, in every single meeting, we read the name of a specific drug at the beginning, in every meeting, where it says many of us viewed alcohol separately. If alcohol is just another drug that requires no separate distinction, and our literature also in the basic text mentions the drug marijuana as well, right? So if our literature mentions specific drugs, where do we come up with this cuckoo shit about we don't mention specific drugs in Narcotics Anonymous? Right? Part of the, man, look, sometimes I feel like, man, in Narcotics Anonymous, we get try to be so politically correct that we're no longer spiritually correct, right? We get it. We got this like mentality or this idea that if I mention meth or whatever drug, right, somebody's going to go get high because I said cocaine in a meeting. As if they don't fucking, if they're new, they're thinking about it anyway, man. You ain't getting somebody high, right? Because I'm talking about smoking weed, right? So now what the group booklet says is that we shouldn't dwell excessively. So, all right, my story in a nutshell. Started smoking weed, drinking orange hooch. Within 6 months, I had progressed to snorting cocaine. I was hanging out with older kids. I stopped going to school, started skipping school more and more and more and more. It got to the point where the truancy officer had a regular stop at my house every morning. That's who I was. I mean, I was a troubled kid. I had good parents. But man, I was a little asshole, man. I was a bastard child. I don't know. I look back now because I got kids. I remember when I got my daughter when she was 2, and I remember thinking, oh, please, no. Not, don't let her be like I was. I can't handle it, right? I was a troubled kid, man. I was a troublesome kid. So, you know, addiction progressed. A couple years. By the time I was 15, 16 years old, I was sleeping under a bridge at 75 and Bryan Street in downtown Dallas. Not long after that, I got involved in organized crime. I'm not bragging or glamorizing. None of that is attractive. None of it is cool. Narcotics Anonymous is one of the only places on earth where people brag about failure. You ever notice that? You be sitting at the meeting after the meeting, and some newer members get into an argument, right? I did more time than you. I did more crime than you. I did more dope than you. Well, I stole cars every week. Well, yeah, but I stole nicer cars than you, right? And it's like, guys, we're literally bragging about how bad we fucked our lives up. We want to compete with each other about who was worse. That's that line in the basic text where it talks about that we bragged about the strange and bizarre behavior. We became proud of the strange and often bizarre behavior, right? That typified our using. So, yeah, man, the disease progressed, man. And ultimately, I got clean. On May 31st of 2005, I got arrested. I spent my first 90 days clean in Tarrant County Jail. By the way, I do count that clean time. I know there's like a debate for some people. Hey, look, man, look, I didn't use any drugs, right? For me, that's all that matters. My clean date's June 1st of 2005, the day after I got arrested, the day after the last time I put a chemical or a substance in my body, right? You know, I had dropped out of high school. I had a daughter that was, at that time, by the time I finally got clean, she was almost a year old. I had never seen a picture of her. Didn't even know what she looked like. Was a complete derelict. A lot of us don't study the literature enough to know that dereliction is a word that's used by our program. The basic text, if you read in the chapter, it says there are 4 bitter ends, right? Jails, institutions, dereliction, and death. You know what dereliction is, right? Dereliction is abandonment of oneself. I had abandoned my daughter, my family, my goal to go to the Air Force Academy and fly F-15 Eagles. I had abandoned my talents. I was a musician before I started getting high. I was just sharing with Takashi on the way up here about one of my teachers, man, that when I started to go off the rails, man, she just spent like extra time and effort with me, trying to help me. I actually got choked up thinking about it. When I got to my first eight step, she was on my list. And when I got to my first ninth step, I went to try to find her, and I couldn't find her. But I think about her a lot. And that's something that you talk about, an awakening of the spirit. Check this out, man. Like, if you're not in a place where these are the kinds of thoughts that you have, I need to clean up the mess that I made with that person. Damn, I forgot about that thing that happened when I was 12. And I did that thing with those people. I wonder how that affected them. If that's not like the way that your step work process is unfolding in your life, I mean, I want to encourage you to dig deeper, because I'm so grateful for the freedom. Look, step 9 in the step working guides, it says, how free do you want to be? Right? How much freedom do you want, man? Look, check this out, Houston. I'm not up here to fucking make y'all feel good, right? I'm not trying to impress anybody or sound good or anything like that. I'm sharing with you that the awakening of my spirit that I've had is a direct result of the work that I've done. Right? So if you want something different, you got to do something different. You get out of it what you put in it, man. I'm grateful. Courtney talked about this. I'm so grateful that when I got clean, man, we call it a just right ass whooping. I had a just right ass whooping, man. Man, it was enough, okay? That thing got me, boy. I said, hey, I remember my first meeting I came in. Well, not my first meeting, because I got 3 white key tags. But by the time I made it back in 05 on my clean day, when I got out of jail 3 months later and went to my first meeting, man, I had a totally different attitude. I remember just saying things like, somebody tell me what to do, man. I'll do whatever I get. Just somebody, just tell me what to, I don't know what to do. I just want to be clean. Who can help me? One of the things that I would encourage you, if you're new, or if you're newer, or maybe you're not and you don't have like this in your recovery life, right? I'm grateful that one of the things I learned pretty early in the process was that I needed to stop asking why and start asking how. My first 2 white key tags, I used to say a whole lot of stuff like, man, why do I got to make a meeting every day, though? Every day? Bro, I got a life, man. Right? Like, my life was so glamorous, GQ. I was just living it up, bro. I said things like, why do I need to call my sponsor every day or make contact? I already got a PO. I believed that. Because I didn't understand the difference between sponsorship in NA and some of the other things that I was doing to try to get clean. I didn't understand. So when I made it back, I'm really grateful I stopped asking why. And I just started saying, how do I do this? How? How? Instead of why do I need to make a meeting every day, I started saying, what meeting should I go to? Right? Instead of why do I need to make contact with a sponsor every day, I started saying, how do I pick a sponsor? Like, what should I look for? I'm grateful. Look, there's a line in our literature, and it talks about that sponsorship is the group's responsibility, and it's often implied and informal in its approach, right? So I'm grateful for the sponsorship of my first home group that I received prior to actually asking someone to formally be my sponsor. Because the sponsorship that I received from my home group at that time, I remember asking that question, and somebody handed me the sponsorship IP. And said, hey man, this IP has some really good information about not only how to choose a sponsor, but also what it means to be a sponsee. Right? One of the things that I believe, man, is like, check it out. The third tradition, right? Yeah. go to the green and gold real quick. I use words, and I had to take a second because I was about to be really self-righteous. That comes naturally to me. Self-righteousness is that's like my default. Why are my sponsees laughing louder than anyone else? All right, page 147, It Works Sound Wide, Tradition 3. So before I read this, when I think about my membership in Narcotics Anonymous, for me personally, I use words like duty, responsibility, obligation, honor. I use phrases like sacred trust. I've got a friend in Ohio I love. He talks about Narcotics Anonymous is a sacred trust. Right? So, like, if I take that a step further, what I would share with you guys is that I am the heir to an inheritance. When I walked into Narcotics Anonymous, right, as a newcomer, having no idea what this program was about, thinking that you guys wanted something from me, trying to figure out what the catch was, telling myself, sitting in my first several meetings, man, you're not going to finish this shit either. You never do. You never finish anything. You'll make it sound good for a couple weeks or a month, maybe 2 months. You'll make it look real good, but then you'll stop. You'll fail. You always do. That's the dialogue. That's the story that I was telling myself for the first couple weeks. I'm so grateful, right, that I learned through this process that I need the importance of sharing. Man, honesty is the antidote to our diseased thinking. Let me not go down that rabbit hole. Let me stick with this rabbit hole. All right. Because I'll just ping pong, right? So, 147, third tradition, how and why. Many of us know when we walk into our first meeting that we're addicts. It's not something we have to decide. It's just a fact of life. Membership, check this out, man. Membership, however, means more than just being an addict. Y'all heard that, right? Just in case, I'll read it one more time. Membership, however, that means like contrary or like it's going to present an opposing view. Membership, however, means more than just being an addict. It means making a decision. If we identify with what we hear in NA and relate with the people we meet, we will want what NA offers. The next stuff that I'm about to read for me is the path to membership. I would share with you that membership is not automatic. I know people say some real cute shit like, you're a member when you say you are, right? I would submit to you that's bad information, right? And I'll substantiate it with NA literature. So long as we have a desire to stop using, comma, we are free to make the decision to join Narcotics Anonymous. There's so much to say just about that. There's a prerequisite requirement to making the membership decision. I have to have a desire to stop using. That's what the third tradition is about, right? It goes on to say, then once we've made that decision, comma, we need to follow it with a commitment to the principles of NA. Right? With that commitment, we set ourselves squarely on the road to recovery. I'm not trying to like ruffle feathers. I'm trying to share with you that if you haven't been exposed to this information, if you're not studying literature, if you're not trying to learn about our program, learn about the disease of addiction, man, who are you fucking hanging out with, bro? Maybe like the sponsorship in your life that's informal and implied in its approach isn't as valuable as possibly what may be available to in another group of people, right? I'm grateful that, I'm surrounded by people. Look, we're serious about Narcotics Anonymous. I don't play with Narcotics Anonymous, man. My life is on the line. And that's not an exaggeration. I have 17 years clean. My life is still on the line. I have a disease, first step, it works out well. I have a disease that expresses, that manifests itself in a variety of mental obsessions and compulsive behaviors that have nothing to do with drugs. Michael, video games are a problem for me, bro. I'm in it, man. I'm in it. 2 months ago, I wasn't playing video games, y'all. And then I finally was able to get my hands on a PS5. Because I tried to get one for like over a year. And I couldn't get one. And, you know, they were unavailable. I don't know if anybody else has dealt with that. I kind of like forgot about it. Because I was just tired of waiting and wasn't available. So as I moved on with my life. And then I got this email. Right? From Sony, and they were like, you've been selected. And you know, I like to win shit. I'm like, oh, this is God's will, man. The God of my understanding has made clear, look at the evidence. Jamie, it's not me making this up. Read the email, bro. It had my name on it, y'all. Yeah. So I went and bought one. And bought it. And man, compulsion is so crazy, y'all. So the console that I got came with a game already. It came with a game, right? And I'm like, oh, cool. You know, I'll have something to play. Man, long story short, within like 2 weeks, I think I spent more on games than I did on the console. Check this out. I've only played like 3 of them. I bought like 15 games. I've only played like 3 of them. Right? I'm sharing this with you because if I'm not vigilant in my recovery, I will make my life unmanageable again. The disease of addiction is not a respecter of clean time. Right? Disease of addiction don't care how good I share. Disease of addiction ain't impressed by how much literature I can quote. And by the way, neither are we. We don't really give a fuck either. If all you're doing is quoting literature as if it's like an intellectual exercise, I'm not impressed. There's a lot of people that are blessed with intelligence. That's great. What I'm impressed with, what I enjoy, what I appreciate, is if you can tie in some literature to how you're using it in your life to try to get better. To try to recover from the disease of addiction. So, I don't even know, man. Y'all, I got 2 kids. I have a job. I got a career, really. I mean, I have a home. I got responsibilities. I have this big boy life. And like, when I look at my life and the circumstances in my life, man, this really ain't why I came to Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't come here for this. My biggest hope when I got clean, I told y'all I'd never met my daughter. My biggest hope was maybe I can just, at some point, maybe I can get to a place where they'll let me pick her up once a month and take her to the park, throw a frisbee, fly a kite, right? I'll push her on the swings. I know some of you guys know my story, man, but God just, I get overwhelmed by the grace and the mercy of God. By the time my daughter was 2, I had full custody of her, and I raised her as a single dad through most of my recovery, right? She graduated from high school in May. She started college a couple weeks ago. Tonight, she's out with her boyfriend. And you know what? I like her boyfriend. I never saw that shit coming, man. I'm really grateful she broke up with the last dude. I did not like that kid. right? She texts me updates, where she's at, what she's doing. She texts me right as I was sitting down before the meeting started that she just got to her boyfriend's house and they're going to watch a movie. Man, it didn't have to be this way for me, y'all. When we talk about grace and mercy, which, by the way, those are two different words. We always lump words together as if like they mean the same thing. And we have a whole collection of words that we do that with in Narcotics Anonymous, right? Grace and mercy get thrown together all the time. Feelings and emotions. Remorse and regret. Right? Guilt and shame. Right? There's a bunch, man. Look, the words, those words are not all completely synonymous with each other. They have similarities, right? But if they meant the exact same thing, one of them would be unnecessary. Right? So, grace is unmerited favor. Or undeserved favor, right? Another way to say it is grace is when I get something that I don't deserve. Mercy, on the other hand, is when I am spared from something that I do deserve. Right? That's why whenever, like, you see on movies and TV shows when people have done something wrong and then homeboy gets a gun on them, what do they say a lot of times? Have mercy! Have mercy! That means I'm guilty. You know I'm guilty. I deserve that bullet in my skull. But man, please have mercy and don't do it anyway. They don't ever say, be gracious. Right? Because that's not what it fucking means. So when I think about the opportunity, really it's opportunities that I've been given. I remember, I don't know if anybody can identify with this, I remember prior to coming to Narcotics Anonymous, I was real big on talking about life's not fair. That was one of my favorite things to say. Man, life's not fair, man. I was always a victim to circumstance. People were always out to get me. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. The cops in the town that I grew up in, I was the only little white kid listening to hip-hop music. And they didn't like that shit because I wore my hat backwards. And I grew up in a little rural town in Iowa. Nobody else was doing that shit. I was the only kid listening to Bone Thugs in that town, right? And they didn't like that shit. So that's why they were always fucking with me. And then when I moved to the big city and I didn't have that excuse anymore, it was the people I hung out with that were on their beat. They had seen me with the people they didn't like, so they just lumped me in guilt by association. Right? I'm so grateful when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I was taught, until I become the problem, there is no solution. Until I become the problem, there is no solution. As long as it's still your fault, my daughter's mom's fault, my seventh grade teacher's fault, the principal, that cop that arrested me, the judge who didn't give me a chance, that was my thing. Just give me a chance. So when I came into narcotics, man, look, one of the things I've learned, right, due to our inability to accept personal responsibilities, we were actually creating our own problems. We must face our problems and our feelings, right? And it, just in case if anybody thinks any of this is profound, two things. Most of it's literature, right? And number two, anything good that I say, God gets the credit for that, not me. Don't be telling me how I'm a great speaker. I am not a great speaker. I am the recipient of a priceless gift. I'm so grateful. I'll never be able to repay the debt that I owe to Narcotics Anonymous. It don't matter how many pots of coffee I make. It doesn't matter how many committees I serve on. It doesn't matter how many people I sponsor. How many times I get the opportunity to carry the message. I enjoy this, don't get me wrong. And I do feel like it's an asset that I have. But check this out, man. I'm not a great speaker. I'm trying to pay the debt that I owe to Narcotics Anonymous. I never will. I never will. I won't even make a dent in what I've been given. But I'm going to die trying, though. So, my wife, a lot of you guys know this already. My wife, we got married in 2018, and in 2020 our son was born. We brought him home a couple days before the pandemic happened. I wanted to ask, Joe, did you guys have the Hackna last year in person?
No.
So this is the first year back. Let's give it up, man, for being back in person. I'm so grateful to be back at in-person events, man. Right? I was King Quarantine, had a newborn baby, my wife and my daughter. I mean, I'm sanitizing the fucking grocery delivery. I can't remember the name of the app. I'm sanitizing the groceries that are delivered, right? So, long story short, my wife left in October of 2020, and it devastated me. Frankly, man, within a couple weeks, I was pretty close to probably eating a bullet. At that time, I had, 15 years clean. That's like one big thing that I want to share, man, is like, just put it about me. I'm grateful I've been taught not to try to hide behind my clean time, which is such a funny concept anyway. Every day clean is a miracle. It's a gift. The time that I have clean, don't get me wrong, I'm grateful for it, and I share my clean time, because clean time speaks for itself, but to act as if I fucking did that, like I did some shit, right, I did not get myself clean. It was an act of God that I got clean. There's no other way that I got clean. I tried to get clean. I tried to outsmart the disease of addiction. I tried moving. Moving was one of my big ones. Moving from city to city and state to state. Man, it's this fucking place I am. These people around here, man. I always had like it's something external, right? There's a line in the second step in the step working guides, and it talks about that, right? Like it talks about a deeper part of our insanity is the belief that we can take something outside of ourselves to fix what's wrong inside ourselves, our feelings, right? So like, man, I'm grateful that I've been taught to go inside. And man, I don't know, man. I'm grateful for my predecessors. I'm thinking about a lot of what I've heard Glendora share over the years. And one of the things I love, man, when we met, I met Glendora in Chicago, CRC, in like 2007 or 8. Yeah. She did Saturday midday. My sponsor, Mustafa, did Saturday night. And I just, that's one of my favorite CDs, and I like it. She'll share tomorrow. Just be there. All right, just be there. But I agree with the message. Don't be fucking with people telling them, stop dressing up the outside. You need to go inside. You know what? Hey, check it out. The most mature way that I could put this to you, if that's you, is to please fuck off, right? Like, can we allow people to experience the process the way that we were allowed to experience the process? So when Joe Addict or Sally Newcomer shows up with a new watch and a new car, instead of like, you hadn't done any step work yet, it don't look like you're really getting better on the inside. Instead of that shit, maybe we could say, hey, that's so nice. Man, that's nice. I'm so grateful that I get the opportunity to watch you grow in this process. I hope that you invest in the step working process. Right? What is that line? I think it's maybe in the 12th step where it talks about a generous application of love does more for the suffering addict than a liberal application of judgment. Right? Man, we be judging up in here, y'all. Golly. I've been that guy for a long time in Narcotics Anonymous because, man, I mean, and check this out. I'm going to say this right into the mic so it's loud and for everybody to hear. I will talk about my blessings in Narcotics Anonymous. You bet your ass I'm going to talk about what God is doing in my life. If you're one of these people that wants to hate on and talk about how, oh, here he comes just talking about his new business again. That's not Narcotics Anonymous. Check this out, man. Like, if you would focus more attention on your own process and your own step work, you might get an opportunity to receive some gifts that God has for you. But because you're so preoccupied in watching the rest of us who are living life, who are taking risks, who are doing work, setting goals, and then setting about the business of achieving them, because you're so caught up in watching us drive up in our new trucks and shit. Look, man, you ain't never gonna fucking have one if you don't do some work. Right? Check this out, man. Check this out, right? Stop expecting a man to do for you what only God can do for you. Right? We were talking about this on the way up here. Propping people up in positions and places in our lives where really only God is supposed to be in that place. Thinking that my sponsor is going to fix my problems for me. Or the people at my home group love me enough that I'll just be forgiven for fucking this newcomer again. It'll be all right. And then hugging her husband and talking about how, keep coming back, bro. Hey, I know y'all don't do that shit. I'm just talking about me. Right? So I want to dig into this topic. We've had a lot of fun. I want to dig into this topic. So this is great, man. This is great. Page 118, It Works How and Why, 12th Step. A lot of you guys have heard me share this because this has been like a hit for me for some years now, but it's so perfect for this, for the theme of this convention. So again, 12th Step, 118, It Works How and Why. Now we must ask ourselves, just what is the message, in quotes, we are trying to carry? Is it that we never have to use drugs again, ? Is it that through recovery we cease being likely candidates for jails, institutions, and an early death, ? Is it the hope that an addict, any addict, can recover from the disease of addiction, ? Now if I pause right there, I bet somebody in here is going like, no, it's none of those things. Our message is that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Our message is hope and the promise of freedom. In the end, this can only be our message because that's all we have to give, right? If anybody's thinking that, I want to ask you to raise your hand. If anybody's thinking that, I just want to share my experience and hopefully broaden your perspective a little bit, okay? That is our message as enumerated and described by the fifth tradition of the basic text, but what I'm going to read next is another aspect or a presentation or a packaging of our message. It says next, well, it's all of this and more. So again, the question was, what is the message we're trying to carry? We ran through a series of questions, and then it says, our message is all of this and more. The message we carry is that by practicing the principles contained within the 12 steps, we have had a spiritual awakening, an awakening of the spirit. Whatever that means for each one of us is the message we carry to those seeking recovery, right? Because I feel like a lot of times the conventional wisdom in Narcotics Anonymous is to put our message in a box and like limit the scope and the breadth and the depth of our message and make it seem like that's what it is, that's all it is, nothing more, nothing less. Is that those that threefold description, right? And man, it's so much more than that. It's so much more than that. Part of my message is that I told you guys I dropped out of high school in the 9th grade. Narcotics Anonymous and the God of my understanding gave me the gift of pursuing a couple college degrees. And today, I don't have a job, I have a career. And I know you might be thinking, here he goes with that bullshit. keep coming back, man. I hope you get some bullshit in your life. Right? I mean that sincerely. All I want everybody to experience this priceless gift of recovery that I have in my life. And check this out. I want more of it. It's not like I've arrived and I'm better now. I'm fucking not better. Like, I'm not well. I am not healthy and well and recovered with an ED on the end. I have gotten better. I am getting better in the present tense, present progressive. I'm in the process, right? I'm seeking recovery from the disease of addiction. So I'm on another seventh step right now. This is all part of our message. This is all part of the awakening of the spirit. The 12th step makes it so clear and so plain, but it's like we're so damn smart that we're double dumb, right? It's such a simple program and simple process. And we want to like do everything but the steps. The 12th step makes it so clear. Having had a spiritual awakening, the next part is like mind-blowingly simple and clear and plain. As a result of these steps, right? How do you have a spiritual awakening? I can't tell you how many meetings I've sat in or like sitting at coffee with addicts. Man, how do I get to this spiritual awakening? It's like, bro, dude, man. Right? This is a 12-step program. Coming to a 12-step program and choosing not to work the 12 steps would be like joining a gym for the free movies and showers. I mean, you're missing the boat. Right? Recovery as experienced through our 12 steps is our goal, not mere physical abstinence. While abstinence is the beginning, our only hope for recovery is a profound emotional and spiritual change. Right? We have a disease that expresses itself in ways that are antisocial, makes detection, diagnosis, and treatment difficult. We believe that every addict, even the potential addict, suffers from a disease of mind, body, and spirit, the solution of which is spiritual in nature. Therefore, this book will deal with spiritual matters. It's all in there. It's all in there. So like whoever your recovery heroes are, and fuck all that about, oh, we don't have fucking, we don't look up to people. Maybe you don't. I fucking look up to some people, man, in Narcotics Anonymous. I understand there's no role model for the recovering addict, but you can bet your ass that there are people who I look at their lives and I admire the way they're living and I want some of what they got in my life. How else would I pick a sponsor? That's another thing. People, this crazy stuff we say in meetings. Oh, I don't judge people. We have a meditation just for today, daily meditation, and it talks about stick with the winners. How am I supposed to determine whether or not you're a winner in Narcotics Anonymous if I'm not judging your recovery? Right? Now, I know the basic text says we try not to judge, stereotype, and moralize with each other. I understand it talks about an atmosphere free from judgment. My understanding, my belief, when I look at my sponsor, man, I understand he's not perfect. My sponsor is so great to me. I'm so grateful that he allows me the freedom to get to see him fall short. My sponsor don't try to pretend like he's perfect. Right? My sponsor shares with me his struggles. It lets me know and it reinforces in me that I'm not alone. It gives me the courage, more than courage. It gives me the reinforcement and fortitude that I need to continue seeking to be authentic and genuine in what I share. People talk about, oh, you carry the mess and not the message. Man, where do we come up with this shit, man? Where does this come from? I think like part of it, just from what I've seen, man, is like, look, we come into Narcotics Anonymous and they had a bunch of stuff that they said when we got here. We just start parroting it without thinking about it. I don't like, we don't challenge it and go, wait, is that true though? carrying the message, not the message. Wait, the book says that honesty is the antidote to our diseased thinking. What do you mean carrying the mess and not the message? The 12th step says a simple, honest message of recovery rings true. Carrying the mess, not the mess. It says in the how and why that our message is meaningless unless we live it. Those things are incompatible. Right? Some of the most powerful messages that I've heard from NA messengers is like, my life's fucked up. I'm making terrible decisions. But I don't want to get high today. And I know I got a shot at getting better as long as I stay clean and put my recovery first. That's a powerful message of recovery. Right? I'll share with you guys, I've been there and done that. Right? You know, so I talked about, like, my wife left. I'll share with y'all my struggles. Like, what's going on with me today? It's been almost 2 years. Our anniversary, our fourth anniversary, is in a couple weeks. I think it's less than 2 weeks. She had 4 years clean. She had 4 years clean when she relapsed. And, you know, I'm so grateful that I have our son now. He's safe. He's with me. So I'm like a single dad again. And watching, I still love my wife, man. I love and miss my wife. Right? I worry a lot. I'm scared. Because I understand when dealing with the disease of addiction, we must take into account its deadly nature. There's no such thing as that kind of addict and this kind of addict. Oh, I'm a real addict. I'm a low bottom addict. I'm a meth addict. I'm a crack addict. I'm a porn addict. I'm saying that. I got a problem with porn. Pornography and masturbation are a problem in my life. Because one of the things that, and I'm not going to violate any traditions, but I will just share with you that when I got married to my wife, I said some things and I gave some vows. And my vows were not only given to myself and my wife, but also to the God of my understanding. So, we're still married. I haven't slept with anybody. She's been gone for 2 years. I'm lonely. I've done things that are dishonoring to the marriage. I've had struggles. I've flirted. I've texted. I've come close to moving into physical territories. But by God's grace, man, and sponsorship, And like the gift of having you guys in my life. You know what it means when it says the ultimate weapon for the disease of addiction is the recovering addict. You know what? Do you understand what that means? When it says ultimate, that means there's nothing that truncates or is superior to that. You can't beat that. The ultimate weapon is the recovering addict. I'm grateful I got a bunch of weapons in my life. I'm grateful that I have people that regardless of whether or not they share my values, right? That they encourage me to stay true to what's meaningful for me. Right? You know, man, I don't know how to not, like, keep NA first. I don't even know how to do that. I can't... It doesn't compute in my mind. It's just everything, man. Everything good that I have in my life is because of Narcotics Anonymous. Everything. Unequivocally. Not even up for debate. Everything good in my life traces its roots back to my membership in Narcotics Anonymous. Not my NA membership and this shit. Not my recovery and that stuff over there. Not my college degrees, not my faith community that I participate in. Those are all good things. But check it out. Those things wouldn't be in my life if it wasn't for NA. So how would, man, I was talking a minute ago about like the duty. I have a sense of duty when it comes to Narcotics Anonymous. I don't get to not be here. There were people, predecessors, waiting for me with open arms when I walked into my first meeting. I'm so grateful for those people. Richard C., Randy R., Felix S., right? Mustafa G., my heroes. Yeah, fuck it, my heroes. Right? They were here for me. They all had clean time. They all had good lives. The obsession had been removed. Check this out, man. Like, if you don't know this yet, I'm not confused about the fact Narcotics Anonymous is not a drug program. Right? So if drugs weren't really the problem, then why would the absence of drugs be a solution? Right? Basic text says that because our addiction involved more than just using, our recovery must involve more than just abstinence. So I have this like sense of responsibility. Look, man, it's like this, right? It's like I came to NA and they had this torch, this like spiritual torch, and they handed it to me over some years. And they said like, hey, man, walk this way with us. Come on, follow us. We're going this way. We're going to the Esperanza Convention in San Antonio. Come with us, bro. Come on. We're going to Texas State, man. Come with us. It's in Austin this year. No, I didn't ask you, Brandon, if you got any money. I just said get your ass in the truck. Right? Brandon, we're going to eat dinner, man. Come on. Come with us, bro. They adopted me. They took me under their wing. So they hand me this torch. And it's like, man, I come along. My life gets all this great stuff. I get all these gifts and this bounty. Right? This feast of Narcotics Anonymous, and then what? I'm going to just say fuck y'all to the newcomer. Like the first tradition talks about the unseen member, the ones who ain't got here yet. I get the privilege of being there for people. Right? One of the highest aspirations of the human heart, helping others. Right? Man, Narcotics Anonymous, I'm in the process. I don't want to say it like it's past tense and it's this event, but it's turning me into a person who's more focused on being a giver than a taker. Yeah. Right? Yeah. My 12-step process, my tradition process, my concept. We don't talk about concepts much, man. This program. Our program is a set of principles written so simply we can follow them in our daily lives. This program is turning me into a person who wants to like depend on God more than self. That's what I want, man. I want to be a guy that lives in God's will, like, I don't know, I don't want to put a percentage or try to quantify it, but as much as possible. And when I get off track, right, that I get back on track as quickly as possible. Third step, step working guides. Y'all know it says step working guides, not guide. At some point in our recovery, we may find that we have somehow shifted from trying to align our will with the higher powers to running on self-will. This happens so slowly and subtly that we hardly even notice. It seems as though we're especially vulnerable to self-will when things are going well. We cross the fine line that divides humble and honest pursuit of goals from subtle manipulation and forced results. We find ourselves, this is me, y'all, this sentence right here. We find ourselves going just a little too far in a discussion to convince someone that we are right. I know it's me. That's why I said that. We find ourselves holding on to something just a little too long. How come you didn't come to the convention, bro? I was in your town, right? That kind of shit, right? What the fuck? Why'd you do that to me? We suddenly realize that we haven't contacted our sponsor in quite a while. We feel a quiet, almost subconscious discomfort that will alert us to this subtle shift away from recovery if we listen. Right? If we listen. I dropped some. Oh, thank you. It's my table of contents from the step working guides. Hey, you know what? My literature's fucked up, but I'm not. My shit's falling apart, man. This awakening of the spirit, there's another meditation that's so beautiful. It talks about like evidence of a spiritual awakening, and it mentions a couple things like frequent bouts of laughter for no apparent reason, right? I think about page 112 of It Works Out Why. There's this paragraph in the 11th step, and it lists like four things, and this, I'll read it, this paragraph, man, you talk about an awakening of the spirit. Look, I was a guy whose whole life and existence was about getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. That was my job, that was my hobby, that was how I spent my spare time. That was what my every waking thought and dream and intention was all related to the fucking come up, man. Right? How do I get one more? What do I need to do? The things that I did to continue supporting my addiction progressed and got worse and worse. So to go from that kind of a place to the kind of place that this paragraph talks about, we see that regardless of the presence or absence of material success in our lives, we can be content. We can be happy and fulfilled with or without money, with or without a partner, with or without the approval of others. We've begun to see that God's will for us is the ability, here's the four things, to live with dignity, to love ourselves and others, to laugh, and to find great joy and beauty in our surroundings. The last couple sentences say, our most heartfelt longings and dreams for our lives are coming true. These priceless gifts are no longer beyond our reach. They are, in fact, the very essence of God's will for us. So, man, like, how do you go from a place? Look, I'm going to tell you a story about two guys, all right? This dude started getting high when he was 12, was sleeping under a bridge when he was 15 years old, complete derelict, homeless, in and out of jail, organized crime, medical conditions, deadbeat dad, never met his daughter till she was over a year old. Like, family was done with his ass. They told him, we love you, but you can't come back here anymore. Right? So there's that dude. And then this guy who raises two kids as a single dad, gets a couple degrees, has a career, is respected in his community, is fully self-supporting, right? Has a relationship with God, is a member of a community, right, of people that love and respect him. Like, the only logical conclusion for most people outside of Narcotics Anonymous, those two people are not the same person. Definitively, those two people are not the same person. That shit don't happen. People that live like that don't live like that. In Narcotics Anonymous, that shit happens every fucking day, man. Right? Check this out. To recovering addicts, I don't know, man, if all you're doing is just staying clean, you don't want to be a recovering addict, you just want to be a clean addict, I don't know. I know what it looks like to be recovering from the disease of addiction. We get the opportunity to live two lives in one lifetime, right? So I don't know what's going to happen with my wife, man. I don't know if she'll get clean again. I'm so grateful that Narcotics Anonymous this program has taught me that as long as she's still sucking air, there's hope. Right? Any addict can get clean, man. If you're new in here, God, please allow the message of Narcotics Anonymous to reach addicts in this room. Like, if you're new, I want you to know this program is available to you. You're not different. You're not exempt. You can have what we have. It's available to us all. We don't even ask that much, man. It seems like a lot. It can be overwhelming in the beginning. I've put in so little effort. I've just done so little. I haven't even done that much. When you talk about relative to the gifts and the feedback, the dividends, little fucking man, the cost benefit analysis on this thing will blow you out of the fucking water, bro. Right? Man, I want you to know if you're new. Look, man, I'm not here to sound good. Like, I'm not on image time. The reason that I'm standing up here tonight, the reason, nothing more, nothing less, the reason that I am here tonight is because if you are new and you're not sure if you can get clean and find recovery, I want to insist that you too can recover. Right? That comes out of our literature. Other people in Narcotics Anonymous gave us hope by insisting that we could recover. Most of us don't fucking insist very much. We do a whole lot of suggesting. Hey man, you can do it. We got you, bro. You can do it. Really, man? I don't know. I don't think this is going to work for me. Well, it worked for me, so, you know. Check it out. That's not insisting. Really? I don't know if it's going to work for me. No, hold up. Hold up, bro. Sorry, man. I don't mean to step on your toes, but I need to be forceful about this. You can recover from the disease of addiction. It's not up for debate. It's possible. I'm not saying you will. That all depends 100% on what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. Right? What I'm insisting is that it is available to us all. You can recover. It is within the realm of possibility. It is a realistic expectation that if you do what we do, you'll get what we got. And man, as pretty and beautiful as the words that I can come up with and say and whatever, and I'm not being arrogant. Check it out. Humility doesn't always mean we need to think less of ourselves. Sometimes humility means we need to think a little more of ourselves. Because humility is the ability to give an honest assessment of oneself, both assets and liabilities. So if you're one of these cats that are like, oh, no, I don't have any assets. No, I fuck up a lot of stuff. That's not humility. It's humble when we can say, like, I'll stand up here and tell y'all, God has given me the gift of being able to carry a message. It's a gift that I have. I'm not like bragging or being arrogant about it. I'm saying I've been the recipient of a gift, right? So I got the 5 sign. Has it been more than 5 since I got the sign? No, it hasn't. My timekeepers tell me it hasn't. Joe and the rest of the committee, man, I just want to say thank you for the invitation. It's been an honor to be here. Let's have a blast this weekend. And let me leave you with one challenge really quick. One challenge. Hey, if you're new, if you see me out there, come talk to me. Because like, if you're waiting on an invitation, maybe you don't have it in you to introduce yourself to somebody, come find me. Fuck with me this weekend. I'll introduce you to everybody else. Thanks for letting me share.